Hi, good morning, or whatever time you're listening to this. I'm very shrill. Oh my God. I was trying to say that I'm very shrill in the mornings, and I don't like recording this the day of. I would really like to be more organized. But yeah. So clearly I am very shrill. Oh my goodness. Sorry. But I have a good reason as to why I'm recording this late, or not late. Well, it's the day of. Why I'm recording the day of, and it's because what I wanted to talk about today, I needed to the kids to be asleep for. But it's not happening. So I think like one day out of the week was a really good day where they were like asleep and they stayed asleep and I had time. But obviously I used that time to hang out with Ryan, and then Mika has been like napping. I don't know if it's like the winter weather. He hasn't, none of us have gotten sick, knock on wood. Beck has gotten some boogies when he like, only when he goes to bed, and it makes him like so insufferable. He's just laying in bed like, and then he'll fall back asleep. I sound sick. I have a little bit of congestion, but that's it. I haven't been sick since I gave birth to Beck. I guess like, I don't know. I usually get sick around the springtime because I have really bad seasonal allergies and I get really bad congestion. And that was when Beck was born, was early March. And so this like weather was kind of shifting. And I remember it was like kind of warm leading up to the days where like I was gonna have him. And then the day I had him, it was like freezing. And luckily we packed a like long sleeve and jacket for Mika, and he was just, yeah, because it was like cold and like a rainy day that day. But I'm guessing from giving birth, my immune system just like tanked, and then being in the hospital with everyone who's in the hospital, I just like picked something up and I had like the worst, I don't know what it was, like cold. It was so bad. I hated coughing. Oh, this is gonna be TMI. I hate coughing with my cervix completely open still and not healed. Because guess what? You know, like when you're a mom, they're like, you need to like fix your pelvic floor, or you're gonna pee a little when you sneeze. Well, directly after giving birth, that shit's wide open, and when you cough, it's bad. It like bad. So I couldn't sleep. Oh my God, I couldn't sleep for the first, and it wasn't even the baby. It was me. It was terrible. But that's over. I don't have to worry about that until I have another kid, and who knows when that'll be. So we're good. Anyway, I'm not going to do a weekly report because I have some topics that I wrote down for this week. So that's my journal. No, I'm not going to read you my journal. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Podcasting topics. Oh, I did want to mention that Saturday is 111111, which is a amazing time to manifest. It 111 is, in numerology, signifies a new beginning, and it is the South and North Node are switching, and so it is Saturday. It's just time to manifest for a new beginning and really feel like the energy of a Saturday, and then you have a new start to the week. I think that it's going to be a great time if there's something that you want to get rid of and just leave it, because this was like the first week. So it's okay if you fucked up. It's the first week of the year. So if you have something that you did this week that you're like me with the podcast, I'm going to leave this behind. I'm going to start recording before. So maybe Saturday, I will record the next episode and leave this like in the past. It's okay that I fucked up this week. Cher Lloyd is releasing new music. If you don't know who Cher Lloyd is, she was on X Factor UK. She had that song Want You Back in 2012 that was like super popular. I was obsessed with her, as I was obsessed with One Direction, and she was on around the same time as One Direction, or at the same time. I thought she was the coolest girl alive, and she completely encompassed what it was like to be a teenager in 2010s. And I love her. And I truly think that she is someone that I could like genuinely be friends with. She married like some guy who was on her crew. Like, she's so down to earth. And I love her so much. She's releasing new music. Her music's not for everyone. It's pop, but it's like UK pop. It's a little different if you're, I guess, used to like Sabrina Carpenter and Gracie Abrams type of pop. It's not like that. But I'm a girly girl down to it. So I just love her and I love her music no matter what. It's something that I used to be like a little a bit embarrassed by because it's not for everyone, you know? Just clear my throat again. But I also used to be embarrassed about how enraptured by One Direction. I was embarrassed because I don't know, it was like during the age where all my friends were like much older than me and very much into like the local pop punk scene. And like, yes, I also was, and I was going to shows very young and just like in that culture, but I was also just a 16-year-old girl in love with One Direction. And I don't know, I'm not embarrassed anymore, obviously, because of Liam passing. It just made me realize how short life is to be embarrassed by, like, I mean, I'm a diehard. I know every song and I know every word and I know all the lore. And they just weren't cool to like be a fan of back then. So don't care anymore. I was like openly a fan with like my close-knit like friends and family. My brother got me a stocking one year. I think it was like 2012, and it was like it just filled with One Direction merch from Target.
Mama,
Yeah, babe. But I'm nerdy. Oh my God, sorry, that sounded so pick me. I am who I am. I don't care anymore. So whatever, man. I have like the fear of being perceived, but things are different when you're just sitting in your room talking to yourself. And I'm not really talking to myself. I'm talking to people who care about me. So doesn't matter. Moving on. I don't talk celebrities ever because I don't think it's fair. I don't want to say ever. I don't say ever to anything, but I don't really because I don't think it's fair that I'm like random people have opinions about them and then get to like say whatever they want without them having any interjection. So, but this isn't negative. It's Zendaya and Tom Holland being engaged. I love them as a couple. They're just like the perfect team and they're so fun and carefree. And I mean, I don't know because I don't really know them, but I just love the energy that they give and like how they respect and treat each other. I love it. And I love them. And I love that it was like kind of secretive and just like announced by just showing up with a ring at the Golden Globes. Also, Demi Moore winning for The Substance. Okay, so I haven't watched The Substance fully. I feel like I've watched it, but broken up in different clips from different sites. And I did listen to the episode on it where they did the entire walkthrough. What is it? Too Scary Didn't Watch. I recommended that podcast before on here. If you like scary movies, I mean, listen, I will listen to every episode. I'm a new listener too. So like I have listened to like two episodes, but I will listen to every episode because I'm the type of person who will be on IMDb at the movie theater. I want to know all the spoilers. I want to have it ruined. I want to know everything. I want to be sitting next to the director with him in my ear. I want to know all the spoilers, so I don't care. So I listened to the entire walkthrough of the movie from that podcast, and then I looked up as many movie clips as I could. So I feel like I basically have watched it, but not entirely. I also can't really eat right now because of it, because of the gross, I don't know, body horror is like not my thing because I have a fear of holes. I forget what it's called because I also have dyslexia, and I know that it starts with a T, and it's like phobia, something. So I have this fear and it gets intensified when it's like fleshy stuff. So anyways, the food, they do like gross food scenes to like really, add to that gore factor. And I just cannot eat. Even just like the description of it. I did see the scenes of like the shrimp and the chicken, but I can't eat right now because everything I'm trying to eat, I'm just like imagining it as I'm not even going to tell you. I was just like imagining it as being a part of my body or someone else's. And it takes me a while to get that, like the terrifier with the poop. It takes me a minute to get that out of my psyche. Is that the right? Is that the right? Whatever. Who cares? Also, if you're feeling behind like myself, Demi Moore is 62 years old and this is her first acting award ever. I've loved her in everything. I just think that she's like so timelessly beautiful. But I love a dark-haired girl with like colored eyes, but I just love straight, like Cher, just straight black hair down to your butt. Gorgeous. I also have written down that I want to see my friends get readies with me. I want to see them do their little like makeup routine because, or go to the gym. I just like it. I don't care if it's like unesthetic. Why am I not doing it? Because my house is a fucking mess right now. And I also can't find my wallet and it's driving me crazy. And I've been tracing my photos and text messages and like videos. And I have a video and I'm holding it in my hand. But I do remember, based on my credit history thing, the last time that I used it, I was at the store. And I remember this because, like, well, obviously because of the stamp, the time stamp stuff. But I remember that I was looking, Mika had dropped one of his cars. And it was like a car that he got for Christmas. And it's a baby car. So it's like very tiny. And Becca was in the car seat already. And I like kind of threw my stuff in and I was just holding Mika. I mean, this day we got balloons. And I remember because we typically get a balloon when we go to the store. But I remember this time because there was like a new girl and the girl told her she was busy and she was like, hey, can you get them a blue and green balloon? And she gave us like a metallic blue balloon, which is like, obviously the baby doesn't care. I don't care, but I just thought it was very shiny and pretty. And so it like was ingrained in my memory of like, that's the day we got the shiny balloon and Mika dropped his car. And so like I had balloons in the car and I remember which way that I parked because I was looking for like his car through these three places and we ended up finding his car. Where did we find his car? We found his car like I think he had put it in the oh my God, I'm sorry. He had put it in the car in the front seat. And so it was in the front seat. And I remember throwing my wallet in there and so it my wallet must be I'm like really scared that it's in the garbage. but I'm pretty sure that it's in the car somewhere. And I looked in it yesterday. I feel like I tore it up, but kind of maybe not because it was freezing. So I don't know. I can't find it and it's kind of freaking me out a little, but I'm sure I'll find it because like there's no other, nothing has been charged, you know? Why am I talking about it? I'm just like freaking out about it. Well, because my life feels like a mess right now because I can't really clean because I'm still tearing up the house. Like maybe that's counterintuitive and I should clean to look for my mama. I should clean to look for my wallet, but Beck really wants me to get him. He said bye bye mama today while I changed his diaper. First thing in the morning, said bye bye mama. We also have like no food, and which is not true. Right now in the house, we have like I was looking in my fridge because I was thinking, well, we have no fo like food, and we have rice and chicken and sauces and veggies, so I can like make a stir fry. But I'm not gonna make a stir fry at like 7 a.m. Well, it's not 7 a.m., but still, not gonna do that. And then that's like basically all we have, so I have to go to the store. And luckily, I have cash, but I'm still kind of freaked out that there's like a 2% chance that my card or my wallet is floating around the universe somewhere, and there's a 98% chance that it's in my home or in my car. So, not that worried. I do remember that Mika had it in his hand at one point, and I said, "Don't, it's fine." And then I don't remember picking it up from him. So that's why I'm scared it's in the trash. But also, I have the trash. I just have to look in the trash. Anyways, trying not to think about it, but that's also why I'm not posting. Well, I haven't posted a get ready with me, and like I posted like one maybe, But I also don't have makeup. I haven't bought makeup for myself in years. And not that I haven't bought makeup. It's just like my mommy has bought me makeup for like Christmas and stuff. And I just don't really have anything that like, I'm just using just shit that I have and works and that I like. Honestly, as long as I have some concealer and I use Clinique. As long as I have some concealer and some black honey, which is it's like a lipstick kind of thing, balm from Clinique, then I'm good. Mascara and black honey, and I can make it work. Oh, and I also just bought like an eyebrow pencil because I really fucked up my eyebrows, and I've been wanting to like shape them up anyways. It's a little lighter than my brow color, but it still works, and it really does like kind of elevate, I don't want to say elevate my face, but it really helps because I fucked up. And I fucked up. I'm gonna learn how to do my eyebrows this year. I made that one of my goals. I don't really like how anyone else does them, and I like having them done, and I notice them when I see like when they're done really well on other people. So I'm gonna make it my goal this year to like figure out how to do that. I'm gonna backtrack real quick. I'm also terrified to go to the store because I don't want to get sick, and everyone coughs in their fucking hand and touches everything, and then everyone who's coughing in their hand are the same people, I'm getting mad now, are the same people who grab 50 fucking wipes to wipe their cart, and they wipe it once and they just ball up the wipes and throw them. I've seen those people, and they're the same people who cough in their hand and talk to everyone and talk loud as fuck. And so their germs are just flying around, and they're using all. I'm almost done, babe. Mika's tired of me. It's funny, I'm not doing a weekly report, but I actually have something to report that I've been eating and I wanted to share. So I've been eating, it's so simple, this lentil soup. It's literally okay, hold on, scratch that. You're gonna start with like 2 tablespoons of olive oil. If you're like cooking and you never know how much of an ingredient you're supposed to add, or you're baking something and you're like, shit, how much was that of the maple syrup? It's typically 2 tablespoons. Like every time that I'm like, oh fuck, how much was this? And I look back at the recipe, 2 tablespoons. So olive oil, and then 4 chicken sausages cut up and then just like sauteed for a bit. Throw in a can of roasted tomatoes, let that simmer, and then 4 cans of lentils, and then a whole box of like, I buy the low sodium vegetable broth. I was going to get bone broth this last time that I went to the store, but I thought that I didn't want to change up the recipe because Ryan is very Virgo, and so I wasn't gonna like switch up the recipe last minute. And then a shit ton of garlic, fresh garlic. I love garlic. I don't really know how much I put in anything. I just like put a shit ton of garlic all the time, which is probably why I'm not sick. I fucking love garlic. Now, I wanted to talk about what I was reading. I was hoping to be done with it, but I have to listen because there's so much talk. There's so much talk in it, so that I have to be listening the entire time, in which I am listening. But I mean like paying attention, like really paying attention. I can't just like, sometimes when you listen to a book or you read a book, if you find out like you understand it a paragraph later, if that makes sense. And that's even with like reading. So you just like kind of put the pieces together. It's always like starting a book. You're like, who the hell are these characters? What's going on? Do they have accents? How old are they? What do they sound like? Is this a boy or a girl? POV. And then like 2 paragraphs later, it makes sense and it's all tied together. And so obviously when the kids are here, which is all day, what the hell am I talking about? I meant when I'm with them, which is all the time, I have to be paying attention to them, obviously. And like, we've been cleaning the house and playing. And so I'm so sorry. I'm trying to catch my breath. Okay, calm down. I'm reading Pride and Prejudice, and I fucking love it. I remember reading it when I was younger. I don't know if I ever finished it, because now that I'm at the end of it, I'm like, exactly. I've never seen any movie adaptation, and so I'm very excited. Oh my gosh, I'm very excited to finish and then watch it, because I just like there's so much in the book where it's like saying what they did, but like, or that they were speaking or bantering, but not having what was actually spoken. And so I'm excited to see and hear like their adaptation of it. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm excited because I've loved the book so far, and I know I'm gonna love it when I finish it. I only have a few chapters left, so, but I'm loving my little classics era that I'm currently in. Okay, and then last thing on the books, I can honestly just make this the podcast. It was me like talking of what I wanted to talk about, but I do have something else that I wanted to talk about for this episode. So, anyways, Chat GPT, my buddy Chat, there's a video that went viral like this week about using Chat for a grocery list and typing in, make me a grocery list for the next 2 weeks, give them your budget, tell them what store. I ain't said to include breakfast, lunch, dinner, high protein, and to make it a Mediterranean style diet. I also said that we are a family of three, no, four, but our baby is baby-led weaning, and so to include some, like, where I could modify the dishes to make it also baby-led weaning for the baby. Granted, I feel like I didn't really need the list because it's things that I typically buy, and we typically follow a Mediterranean diet, whether Ryan realizes that or not, because of the food that I buy and the what we eat. But I feel like it helped me as far as like it staying on budget and like in what I need to get, and also like the meals, because most of the time I buy the shit and then I just end up making like some kind of grain with some veggie and meat, and I always forget the fucking meat. I always forget to defrost meat. And then in the mornings it's like yogurt bowls. But I feel like this it's good to like I feel like because I'm so used to what we already purchased at the store and the grocery list that it supplied me, it's excellent. Don't get like I'm not knocking it. But I feel like because I typically already buy the stuff that it was telling me, I think it's good to keep like in budget. So asking for I'm gonna ask for a Mediterranean, oh my God, Mediterranean grocery list and a budget of blah 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 at blah 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 store, and then see what it gives me. I might do that right now because we have to go to the fucking store. But also, I feel like if I look at my fridge and say I have this, make me like a meal, that would be a good idea too. Because most of the time I'm just staring at my fridge like what the fuck do I do with this? I was also telling a friend recently who was looking for a like workout routine app or just like something that she doesn't have to pay for or isn't very expensive. When I had first started working out postpartum, I used ChatGPT to, I said I have like 2 10-pound dumbbells and a yoga mat and like some stretching stuff. And I said that I'm postpartum with diastasis recti, what baby, that I was breastfeeding. I put in all of my information basically so that it doesn't overwork me and it doesn't like have me do the wrong exercises that will end up like harming me because I did have a mild diastasis recti. And I also like didn't have a chair. Like I didn't have a chair because we didn't have a dining table until like a few months ago. So I wrote down like I couldn't do like any modified like, you know, push-ups without, I wish I did have a fire mantle, but it's kind of lower than like a typical chair would sit. So I just wrote all the equipment in that I had. And then if it would tell me stuff like that, like to grab a chair to do like these sitting squat stuff, or not sitting squat, but it's like, yeah, babe, the push-up that you use the chair for or whatever. And I would say like, change this because I don't have that, you know, make it like I would do a wall sit instead or something. And it did get repetitive and it would just have me do like a lot of the same stuff over. And I would like say, you know, that was Tuesday. Let's switch it up for Thursday, or let's make Thursday an all core day or full body. Or you can also put in like how much time that you have to work out and like what your goal is calorie wise or like muscle, whatever. It's a really good tool and it's going to give you like a rough draft that you can like fine tune and then you do it and then you have it. And that's what I would did. And it really helped me like with core exercises because there's not a lot that's not behind a paywall of postpartum workout, which sucks. But chat's free and I did it and it worked. All right. So for this episode, I wanted to do like a huge deep dive into hunting and haunting at Why do I always mix them up? Haunt. Oh my God. Haunting and Hunting Adeline, which is a dark romance duet book and books. But I wanted to like spoil them. I wanted to give an entire. I know. You don't like spoilers? I wanted to give an entire walkthrough and like retelling of both books. But I was trying to, like, I realized that it's something that I'm probably going to have to write myself. And I've read these books multiple times, but I wanted to give a very thorough walkthrough with all the spoilers. And I was trying to use like chat for it, and it just like wasn't working. And even chat was like, I can't give you that much detail. And it's a big book or big two books, which they are. But I was like, come on, dude. So you know all the information, just give it to me. So I'm probably gonna have to do that if I want to myself. But what I am gonna do is I have a few book I'm gonna recommend, and then I have a few that I've been wanting to read. And so I got like a lengthy summer. Oh my God. Someone fucking kill. I got a lengthy summarization of them, and then I also got like just some basic info for you and a blind reading, three of them, I believe, and two of them I are ha Haunting and Hunting Adeline, which I've already read and love. So they are dark romance. This is why I didn't want to like have the kids awake, and which I'm this is good because I asked for no spoilers. So let me just like say that right now. No major spoilers is what I asked for. And I read the rough draft. There are no major spoilers, so that's what weird. And I asked again. I was like, make sure there's no spoilers. And they're like, yeah, there's no spoilers. So no spoilers, but I'm gonna give you a summary that is longer. sorry. of Haunting and Hunting Adeline, and then some other books that are dark romance that I've been wanting to read. One specifically I have been wanting to listen to because I hear that it's comedic and the voice narration just like makes it. So since we finished this Crown of Nyaxia series, my sister and I am hoping that maybe she'll want to read this one. We do read a lot of like romance together, like fantasy romance. I don't, have we read anything else? I don't know. I have to, I'm not in my right space to like think about that right now, but like dive into what we have. So anyways, I just fuck it. Let's just get into it because I'm hungry and I can't think. And where the fuck is my wallet? We'll be starting with Haunting and Hunting Adeline, the cat and mouse duet, written by H.D. Carlton, a lady. Now, Haunting Adeline has an average rating of 3.96 out of 5, which that is on Goodreads. I believe the Audible one is higher. And Hunting Adeline has an average rating of 4.09 out of 5 stars on Goodreads. Now on Audible, A Haunting Adeline is rated a 4.4 out of 5, with the performance being rated a 4.6 out of 5 and the story a 4.3. Hunting Adeline is a 4.7 out of 5 stars for the just average rating. Performance is rated 4.8 out of 5, and the story 4.6. Hunting Adeline does have a greater storyline to it, and I just believe that it's because the build up from the from Haunting Adeline. Like that's kind of typical in a book series where, you know, the first book is character building and story building, and then the following books you may have like a book four or book three, they're going to be like a 5-star read as opposed to like the first book. But the first book is obviously you do need to read both these books. Do not just like pick up Hunting Adeline because that will make no sense or it'll be like spoiled. I did enjoy listening to them. I would also enjoy reading them, but I don't know. I enjoyed both, or I haven't read it technically, but I've listened to it multiple times and I want these books on my shelf. I love them. They are not for everyone. I am going to get into the trigger warnings. Like I said, these are dark romance books. So, Haunting Adeline and Hunting Adeline. So, Haunting Adeline is narrated by Teddy Hamilton and Michelle Sparks. We'll have two POVs. Let's see, what else have they been in? I asked for some more like notable stuff that we may have like heard their voices in because I kind of love that when you see or you're like listening to a book and you're like, this sounds familiar. Is this guy? Wait, I have to go back on the female narrator. I'm sorry. Her name is Ava Erickson. I guess that was the narrator for some other book that I didn't have my notes in order. So for Haunting and Hunting Adeline, it is Ava Erickson and Teddy Hamilton still. Ava Erickson, known for her performances in dark and emotional romances, including The Ritual by Chantal Tessier. I have The Ritual, didn't immediately vibe with it. I may give it a second chance just because the ratings are so high, but was not my cup of tea. I don't know. Maybe I'll give it another try, but I do love Ava's voice. Teddy Hamilton, a renowned narrator in romance audiobooks, featured works like Credence by Penelope Douglas. I am also not a fan of Credence. Not gonna say why, maybe just Google it and find out. But I do love Zaid's voice, Zaid being the main female character in Haunting and Hunting Adeline. Also love the name Zaid, and if I had another child and named them Zaid, it would be kind of hard to explain where that name came from, so probably not, but I do love that name. And to be clear, I love it specifically because of this character, so again, not gonna have to explain that to a child, or worse, a teenager, or worse, a child. I'm not gonna do it. Okay. A few book facts before we get into the summary. It is a duet. There are two books in the set, and they are known as the Cat and Mouse duet. Book one being Haunting Adeline, book two being Hunting Adeline, again by H.D. Carlton. They are categorized as dark romance, psychological thrillers. Haunting Adeline, so sorry, 553 pages, and Hunting Adeline, 675. So they are pretty lengthy books. Well worth the read, but you will need a to cleanse your palate after. You're gonna need, like, just like after watching like a scary or a dark movie, you're gonna need to get like a comedy book after this, or a like a light-hearted romance. You're gonna need to cleanse that palate quite a bit. Trigger warnings. Both books contain graphic and potentially distressing, sorry, content. Readers should be aware of graphic violence, stalking and obsession, psychological manipulation, kidnapping and captivity, non-consensual acts and dubious consent, human trafficking, detailed in book two, torture and physical harm, explicit sexual content, emotional and psychological trauma. And I don't see it here, but I'll also add, like, child endangerment or child, just it has to deal with child trafficking as well. Now, to kind of blanket summarize both Haunting and Hunting Adeline by H.D. Carlton, the Cat and Mouse duet is an interactive tale of dark romance that immerses readers into an eerie gothic atmosphere where obsession, survival, and morality collide. The duet's two books follow the unnerving and complex relationship between Adeline Riley, a reclusive romance author, and Zaid Meadows, a dangerous man with an all-consuming obsession for her. So these books blur the line between love and control, safety and danger, light and darkness, drawing readers into a story that is as unsettling as it is captivating. With its Victorian-inspired setting, morally gray characters, and relentless tension, the duet explores how far one can be pushed in the name of survival and whether love can flourish in the shadow of obsession. I'm a huge fan of the gothic setting and our girl main character Adeline being a writer. Now, getting into each book's individual summary, Haunting Adeline. The story begins with Adeline Riley, a successful yet introverted romance author, inheriting her late grandmother's home, Parson Manor. It's a beautiful estate. It's just described as being this, like, Victorian gothic, just dark. And the way that it's described, I have one Pinterest board just dedicated to this manor because it's very much how I envision my dream home. And so it's just like a beautiful setting to be thrown into. The manor is nestled in the middle of nowhere. It's a hauntingly beautiful Victorian estate. Its grand yet decaying structure holds an air of gothic elegance. Its creaking floors and dimly lit hallways, saturated with secrets and echoes of the past. Adeline moves in looking for a quiet space to focus on her writing and to escape the chaos of her life. However, the peace she seeks is elusive. From the beginning, Adeline feels like she's not alone in the sprawling house Little things start to unsettle her. A misplaced object here, the sensation of being watched there. The manor itself seems alive, its shadows deepening her unease. Adeline soon discovers a journal left behind by her great-grandmother, recounting the love story steeped in tragedy and obsession. And this historical thread sets the tone for the entire events that follow. Adeline becomes aware that someone is watching her, someone who knows her intimately. Notes appear in her home, cryptic yet menacing. She feels a presence that she can't quite explain, a predator lurking just outside the boundaries of her perception. Enter Zade Meadows. It's times like these where I really wish that I had a soundboard. Zade is a man who operates in moral grayness. His world is dark and dangerous, tied to a secretive organization that dismantles human trafficking rings. His ability to stalk, manipulate, and infuriate lives becomes terrifyingly personal when he sets his sights on Adeline. Zade doesn't just stumble upon her, he chooses her. And from the moment that he becomes both her shadow and her captor in ways both literal and metaphorical. Their dynamic is suffused with tension, a constant push and pull. Adeline knows Zade is dangerous, his presence suffocating and inescapable, but she can't deny the magnetic pull she feels towards him. Even if she tries to resist him, Zade doesn't just want to be near her. He wants to own her, to break down every barrier between them until there's no part of her he doesn't possess. As the story unfolds, Adeline begins to piece together Zade's world and his dark intentions, but this only deepens the complexity of their relationship. While Zade's obsession grows, Adeline's sense of autonomy becomes a battle she fights every day. The boundaries between fear and desire blur in ways that are as equally unsettling as they are compelling. Haunting Adeline is a study in the psychological tension, exploring themes of power, control, and the dangers of obsession. So that was actually completely spoiler-free. Shit happens in this book that is how do I say this without spoiling? If it's not clear, Addie is known as the mouse, obviously, being hunted. And so it is very, it's not like she's mousy. I feel like she's not like very pick-me character or insufferable. I feel like she's very, very well written. And she's just happens to be the mouse in this cat and mouse duet. And like she does find her footing in her voice. But she does start off a little bit more timid in the beginning of the book series. And I love her character growth. I love her background. I love that she's a writer. I love that she's into dark and gothic stuff. It's a really, really good book. And her best friend in the book is also such a treat to have around. Okay, let's dive into the second book now of the series, Hunting Adeline. Second book. Hunting Adeline raises the stakes in unimaginable ways. Without diving into the major spoilers, the installment forces Adeline into a brutal and harrowing experience far beyond the psychological games of the first book. Her world shatters when she is taken by a human trafficking ring. Damn, okay, I didn't know it was going to say that. I guess that's kind of how book two ends, with us missing Adeline, which is why we're now hunting her. I don't think that's a big spoiler. But that's the whole basis of the first or the second book. So it's a need to know, I guess. Okay. Where were we? Thrust into a reality filled with unspeakable horrors. While Haunting Adeline centers around the haunting atmosphere of Parsons Manor and Zade's obsessive pursuit of Adeline, Hunting Adeline is a visceral exploration of survival and the human spirit. Adeline, once isolated in her gothic sanctuary, is now thrown into a world of violence and degradation. Forced to endure unimaginable circumstances, the trauma she faces pushes her to her limits. The story becomes one of resilience and the fight for freedom. Zade, on the other hand, becomes a man consumed by vengeance and guilt. His obsession with Adeline takes on a new urgency as he tracks for her captors and works. We do see a lot more of Zade's POV. Yeah, we do see more than in the first book, but anyways. Her captors and works to bring her back to him. His single-minded pursuit of justice and his unrelenting need to reclaim Adeline blur the lines between hero and anti-hero. He's definitely a hero. What are you talking about? Zaid's methods are brutal, his moral compass skewed, but his devotion to Adeline is unwavering. This book is much larger, and I believe it's part one and part two. So when Adeline and Zaid's path converge again, the dynamic between them shifts. Adeline is no longer the same woman, obviously, that Zaid once stalked. She is a survivor, scarred and untrusting. The trauma that she endures becomes a barrier between them, one that even Zaid's obsessive love struggles to break through. The relationship, already built on shaky foundations, becomes even more volatile. Haunting Adeline doesn't shy away from the emotional and physical aftermath of trauma, the story of healing, redemption, and the cost of love in the face of darkness. Again, I wish I had a soundboard, but I do not. As emotionally hard this book was to read, I have read it multiple times, and so it's definitely something that could be read by an empath. Not easily digested, but definitely worth the digesting. I've read other books by H.D. Carlton. This is by far my favorite that she's done, but I do love her other books as well. So that concludes Haunting and Hunting Adeline. 5 stars by my end. My rating, 5 stars. I recommend listening to it. I think it's going to be great either way. I don't think like listening to it makes it any easier. Maybe reading honestly makes it a little bit easier to digest, but yeah, I recommend both. This next book is I'm excited to read about because I don't know too much about it other than it's like comedic. So let's get into that one. Our next book is Lights Out by Nevessa Allen. It is a dark romance and dystopian fiction. I did not know this at first, and so now I'm very excited to read about it. It is a standalone, sadly. I don't know. I know I love a series, so I know how I feel about this. Themes are survival, trust, redemption, love, amidst chaos. Love amidst chaos. Oh my God. Chaos? The fuck? This book also has both a female and male narrator. So Elena Wolf and Jacob Morgan. Elena Wolf also works are the deal by Ellen, sorry, The Deal by L. Kennedy, Beautiful Bastard by Christine Lauren, and The Wall of Winnipeg by and Me. Sorry, let me redo that. The Wall of Winnipeg and Me by Mariana Zapata. Jacob Morgan, Birthday Girl by Penelope Douglas, Credence by Penelope Douglas, and Punk 57 by Penelope Douglas. So Jacob Morgan apparently has a voice made for dark romance because Penelope has used him multiple times. This is not a Penelope Douglas book. Like I said earlier, it is a Nevessa Allen book. So I guess the guy just has a deep voice for these type of books. All right, so now let's get into the ratings. I don't know why it says book one here when it says it's a standalone. Average rating is a 4.25 out of 5 on Goodreads. And an average of a 4.8 on Audible. So definitely a book that I think you'd want to listen to, as opposed to sitting down and reading. Now to get into the trigger warnings, we have violence and death, pandemic-related trauma, betrayal and loss, emotional and psychological trauma, explicit sexual content, as well as references to starvation and survival struggles. You know what else should come with trigger warnings? The House on Mango Street. Because I tried to reread that. I did reread it recently when I was not in a very well headspace. And just don't, if you are Hispanic and have some financial trauma, maybe take a breath before you read it. Doing much better now. Just not the time that I should have read it. But those are my triggers. So, anyways. All right, so let's get into the full summary of Lights Out by Nevessa Allen. Overview. Lights Out by Nevessa Allen is a gripping, dark, dystopian romance set in a post-apocalyptic world. Why was that so hard to say? World, where survival comes at the cost of morality, trust, and personal sacrifice. This novel is a raw exploration of human resilience, the fragility of civilization, and the ways love can both heal and destroy the harshest of conditions. With richly detailed world building and complex characters, Allen pulls readers into the story that is equal parts haunting, romantic, and suspenseful. Settings and atmosphere. The world of Lights Out is a crumbled version of our own, ravaged by a pandemic that has brought humanity to its knees. Civilization has been reduced to scattered groups of survivors trying to scrape by in the hostile environment. The tone is grim and foreboding, with the ever-present, ever-present threat of violence, starvation, and betrayal. The author's use of imagery evokes a bleak, almost gothic atmosphere. Ruined cities, overgrown highways, and dilapidated buildings all serve as the backdrop for the story. Painting a vivid picture of society that has lost semblance of order. Plot summary. I'm actually like super excited for this one. Right. The story begins with the protagonist Nyx navigating this dangerous new world with razor sharp survival instincts and a deep mistrust of others. I'm sorry, I'm trying to breathe. Nyx is a complex character, strong, resourceful, and deeply scarred by the losses she has endured. Her journey is not just about surviving the external dangers of the world, but also about confronting her own internal demons. Early in the novel, Nyx crosses paths with a man named Elias. Unlike her, Elias still clings to a sense of morality and hope, traits that both intrigue and frustrate Nyx. Their initial interactions are fraught with tension as their opposing worldviews clash. Nyx sees Elias's optimism as a liability, while Alice views Nyx's hardened exterior as a shield hiding her vulnerability. As they form a tenuous alliance, the story delves into their shared struggles to survive in a world where trust is often a fatal mistake. The chemistry between Nyx and Elias is palpable. Their relationship evolving from a reluctant partnership to something deeper and more intimate. However, the novel never lets readers forget the perilous world they inhabit. Every step they take is shadowed by danger, whether from the remnants of humanity willing to kill for resources or from the deadly virus still lingering in the shadows. The narrative is as much about the external threats as it is about the emotional journey of its characters. Nyx is forced to confront the walls she has built around herself, while Elias grapples with the moral compasses required to survive. The moral compromises required to survive. Their bond becomes a lifeline, a fragile beacon of hope in an otherwise bleak existence. But as their feelings for each other grow, so too do the stakes, in a world where survival often means sacrificing those you care about. Their love becomes both strength and vulnerability. So this has been broken up into a few pieces, unlike the previous summary. So let me read now where it says themes and tones. Lights Out is not just a dystopian story. It is an exploration of the human condition under extreme circumstances. Themes of trust. You're a mummy. Themes of trust, loss, and redemption run through the narrative, challenging readers to consider what they would do to survive. The tone is dark and unflinching, but moments of tenderness and hope provide a counterbalance, making the story as emotionally impactful as suspenseful. The novel also examines the cost of survival, how much one's humanity can be sacrificed before there's nothing left to salvage. For Nyx, this question becomes a central struggle as she learns to open herself up to Elias, even as the worlds around them threaten to tear them apart. I did already go into the trigger warnings. So that concludes Lights Out. I wish that I had a rating of my own. I want to read this right now. Oh, I'm also reading Normal People, which is a comedy romance, I believe. You know what? I don't really know much about it. I know that there's a Hulu series. I'm kind of going in blindly. It's been recommended. It's a very short book. Well, it's short, shorter than I usually read. So I'm excited to just kind of like read through that after I get done. I'm kind of like reading it tandemly with Pride and Prejudice. So we'll see, because I'm reading that as a physical copy because I wanted to read more physical copy books and it's much smaller. So maybe after I finish those, I will dive into Lights Out. I would like to also read this with my sister. So we'll see where she's at with the book that we were reading. And hopefully this will be our next read, because I'm like really, really looking forward to it now. I'm also really hoping that these last, obviously I've read Hunting and Haunting Adeline. Oh my God, why do I keep putting them in fucking reverse? Obviously I've read The Cat and Mouse Duet, and I recommend that book, those books. These like next series that I'm going to talk about, haven't read. Lights Out, haven't read. So I'm hoping that I don't have to like come back and like say, oh, you know what? Don't read these, or just taking out my recommendation or whatever. Hoping that these books stand up to the hype, because I'm going in with high hopes. Okay, so these next books that I want to get into are a 3-book series. The last, well, I actually don't know if it's the last book, but the 3rd book of the series is coming out February 2025. So not yet released. I don't know what information I have on that yet, but we'll see. All right, so without further ado, let's get into the Ruinous Love Trilogy. The Ruinous Love Trilogy is a dark romantic comedy series comprising interconnected standalone novels that delve into the lives of complex characters entangled in love, murder, and mayhem. Each book combines elements of romance, suspense, and dark humor, offering readers a unique blend of thrills and heartfelt moments. This is interesting because I don't think that I've read a dark romance that wasn't like also a like mystery, because I've primarily read like dark, I primarily read H.D. Carlton, and there's The Ritual, which I read a little bit of, so I don't really know how much of that was, like, comedy, because, again, I just, like, DNF'd it. I haven't really read, like, a comedic, dark romance book. These books are quite popular online, so you may have seen them on your Explore page or FYP. Book one is Butcher and Blackbird. They're, like, it's, like, a hot pink background with, like, a butcher knife on the cover of it. Let's get into the, I want to get into the, like, some of the audiobook details. And, well, actually, let me just go into, like, some of the book details right now. It is a dark romance comedy, about 8 hours and 43 minutes if you listen to it on Audible. Release day, October 10th, 2023. Okay. The Goodreads rating is a 4.04 out of 5. Audiobook rating is a 4.5 out of 5, and performance is a 5 out of 5. That's crazy to average a 5-star rating for the performance. The story itself, oh my goodness, you okay? Itself is a 4.5 rating. He started to choke, and then he started to pretend to make me laugh and himself laugh. Audiobook narrators are Joe Arden and Lucy Rivers. I get it, you're coughing. Joe Arden, also known for Birthday Girl by Penelope Douglas, Credence by Penelope Douglas. So again, we have another dark romance voice here. Lucy Rivers, known for Beautiful Bastard by Christina Loren, The Deal by Elle Kennedy, and The Wall of Winnipeg by And Me by Mariana Zapata. Okay, so this is who I was originally reading. I had skipped ahead a little bit. Trigger warnings, graphic violence, murder, dark humor involving sensitive topics, accidental cannibalism. All right. For some reason, I did ask for a lengthy summary, but I do have shorter, like literally a paragraph summaries for these, so I'm just going to burn through them. Sloan and Rowan are rival murderers Sloan and Rowan are rival murderers whose chance encounter sparks an unlikely bond. Together, they embark on an annual game hunting the most dangerous monsters across the country. As their partnership deepens, they navigate a world filled with blood, suffering, and unexpected commodities. Okay, chill. That's all I have on that. I don't know why I didn't ask for... I did this work, like these last 3-book series, which it's only going to be 2, I guess, because the other one's not out yet. I did this work like really late at night, and I was also freaking out about my wallet. And it was nighttime, so my nighttime anxiety kicked in. So that's why we have probably shorter summaries, and I didn't ask for a more lengthy, or I didn't do any more research into them. Book 2, Leather and Lark. Let's see who the narrators are. Narrators for the Audible version, Eric Nolan has also done The Stopover and The Takeover, which are both by T.L. Swan. Samantha Brentmore has done The Roommate. Oh, I've heard about that one. by Rosie Dannon, and The Intimacy Experiment by Rosie Dannon as well. This is a dark romance comedy, about 12 hours, 15 minutes if you read. That's pretty big. Released on June 4th, 2024. Goodreads rating of 4.25 out of 5, and a 4.5 out of 5 on Audible, with the performance also being a 4.5 out of 5. So pretty well rated. Trigger warnings. I don't know if I already said this. Violence, murder, themes of trauma, explicit sexual content. Okay, book two of the trilogy, Leather and Lark. Summary: contract killer Lachlan Kane desires a quiet life away from his violent past. After a botched job, he is offered a deal with Lark Montague. Yep, okay. Help her hunt down a killer in exchange for his freedom. The catch: they must enter a fake marriage despite their mutual disdain. As they delve deeper into their mission, distinguishing between pretense and reality becomes increasingly challenging. Sorry if that was like a choppy sentence. Seems as though we have a real enemies to lovers in this book. I can't believe I didn't get more information about it. Okay, so I'm scrolling down on my notes, and I actually did get another summary and more information on it. So let me just read those. Book one, again, Butcher and Blackbird. Summary: in The Butcher and Blackbird, we are introduced to two characters who occupy opposite ends of the moral spectrum, Sloane and Rowan. Sloane is a cold, calculating professional assassin, known for her brutal efficiency and lack of remorse. Rowan, on the other hand, is a charming yet deeply troubled individual who has his own past of steeped in violence. Despite their differences, the two cross paths, and an uneasy, albeit fascinating, partnership begins to take shape. This is no ordinary crime novel. There is an undeniable chemistry between Sloane and Rowan that neither of them can fully ignore. Even as they find themselves caught up in their dangerous lives, the story blends humor, suspense, and gritty violence in a way that keeps readers both entertained and on the edge. As the two characters grow closer, their bond becomes a game of sorts, a tense back and forth between their mission and their evolving relationship. But of course, as their stakes grow higher, their partnership begins to blur the lines of friendship, trust, and something more. The dark humor woven into their dynamic makes this book feel like a roller coaster of intense, thrilling, and occasionally absurd, but always entertaining. The stakes are high, with violent actions often accompanied by witty banter. I was going to say, it seems like this book has a lot of banter, which gives the book a unique, thrilling atmosphere that will leave readers wondering what happens next. The more Sloane and Rowan come to understand each other, the more complicated their situation becomes. With its fast-paced narrative and unpredictability, Butcher and the Blackbird leaves readers questioning where the fine line between love and hate lies, and just how far each of them will go for the other. Okay, sick. Way more information. And now I'm actually feel like I have something to look forward to instead of just like this, I don't know, whatever the fuck that first summary was. Okay, now we're gonna move on to redoing book two, Leather and Lark. Leather and Lark takes us deeper into the world of dark humor and moral complexity, but this time the focus shifts to Lachlan Kane and Lark Montague. Lachlan, hardened contract killer, is not someone you'd expect to be seeking redemption or peace. His life has been one of violence and survival. Now he's tired of the bloodshed. When a job goes horribly wrong, he finds himself thrust into an uneasy alliance with Lark, a woman whose calm exterior hides her deep-seated darkness of her own. Lark is far from the helpless damsel. She's strong, intelligent, and more than capable of handling herself in dangerous situations. After a run-in with a killer, Lark makes Lachlan an offer he can't refuse. Work together to take down a person responsible for the crime, and she'll help him escape his violent past. However, there is a catch. They must pretend to be married, a married couple, in order to infiltrate the underworld. Their fake marriage is anything but smooth. The chemistry between Lachlan and Lark is palpable, but so is their disdain for one another. The two have constant push and pull dynamic, testing the limits of their patience and their ability to trust one another. As the mission progresses, the tension between them becomes undeniable, but their partnership remains professional for now. As the plot unfolds, Lachlan and Lark must navigate the external threats of their growing attraction. Sorry, that was hard to read. Growing attraction while contending with their own emotional scars. In this installment, the stakes are even higher while compelling blend of romance and action, making Leather and Lark an edge of your seat read. As the two move closer to their goal, they must decide whether their growing connection will be their salvation or their downfall. And I've already read, I don't know if I read the, okay, the trigger warnings say graphic violence, murder, explicit content, themes of trauma and abuse, and then profanity. The reason that I wasn't sure if I had already read those is because of the profanity being mentioned. I don't know. Okay, and so book three, obviously we don't have a rating yet, or even like narrators or anything like that, because it has not been released. And I believe that I did say February of this year. Let's see, book two, it says to be released in 2025, so I don't know where I got February from. Maybe I had read that, maybe not. I don't know, but 2025 nonetheless, unless it gets pushed. But book three, Scythe and Sparrow, she is just loving these names, dude. It is, I'm having a hard time. Not really, but I am with S's because of my list. I feel like, I guess you have to read these books in order because that's how they were written, but I'm also not sure. Okay, so book three. In the final book of the Ruinous Love trilogy, Scythe and Sparrow. Oh my God, like I have cotton in my mouth. The stakes are raised even further. This book brings the series full circle, focusing on two characters who have been through their fair share of violence, deception, and emotional turmoil. Their relationship, born out of necessity and complicated by their personal demons, has been teetering on the edge of what real of what's real and not real. The Scythe and Sparrow readers are taken into a world where trust is a luxury that neither character can afford. But both have been through the ringer emotionally and physically, and now, in their final chapter, they must confront not only the threats of their lives, but also feelings that have been simmering under the surface. It's a story of redemption, of reckoning with one's past, and choices that define the future. As the plot unfolds, the characters must face the harsh reality that nothing is as it seems. The line between friend and foe become increasingly blurred. Real enemies to lovers, girl, this lady is the writer. And the tension between the protagonist escalates. There are still unresolved feelings and dangers that could pull them apart. And as they work through the chaos around them, they are forced to confront who they are and what they truly are capable of. As with the previous books in this trilogy, Scythe and Sparrow expertly balance dark themes, romantic tension, and thrills of danger. It explores the complexities of human relationships and the difficult choices that come with living a life filled with violence and secrets. The chemistry between the leads is undeniable, but their path to true connection is anything but easy. The book promises a conclusion that will leave readers emotionally invested and satisfied, with the characters finally coming to terms with the consequences of their actions and the people they've become. Trigger warnings, graphic violence, murder, explicit sexual content, themes of abuse and trauma, and profanity, and dark humor. Okay, so I asked chat if you could read these like as a standalone, and apparently you can, but the characters are connected. And so I believe that it's just like sprinkled into each book, and then this last book will be the ending to it, and all the characters, I guess, like, or I don't know. I just, let's see. A character from one book may appear or be referenced in another, either as a side character or through their actions having impacted on the current story. The settings and underworld themes, such as criminal networks or morally complex characters, create a consistent backdrop that ties the trilogy together. Okay, so I guess they're all within the same world of each other. Okay, so that concludes today's episode. Looking forward, I wonder how, if it is going to be out in February, how much time I have to read this. I should probably ask. Let me ask. Okay, so it's actually correct. Scythe and Sparrow, the third book in Bryn Weaver's Ruinous. I never even said her name. Bryn? Brynne Weavers. Sorry. I'm going to look that up because I feel like I should probably know the name pronunciation. Okay, Scythe and Sparrow, written by Bryn Weaver, Brynne. The Ruminous Love Trilogy is scheduled to be released on February 11th, 2025. So it was in February. The anticipation of the release, midnight launch planned for February 10th at Barnes and Noble in New York City. And then the book is available for pre-order through various retailers, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, and Target. And probably Audible, maybe. I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna try to pre-order that. I might do that right now. So catch me pre-ordering the last book before I even read the first two. All right, all right, all right. That was today's episode. Took a while to record because of the children wanting me to make them into mummies and play and eat. And where's my wallet? I will see you back next week. I hope you have a good week and talk so much. Talk so much? What? Love you so much. Bye. Talk later.